So today we have a special, I hope, tradition that we're starting. We will be commissioning our pastoral associates and our care coordinators. These are individuals who have come forward saying that they would like to express leadership in the area of care. This isn't care like I might think of as a still recovering parent. My child is no longer in diapers, but when I think of care and caregiving, I still think of those toddler years of having a purse that is as big as a diaper bag because I had to be prepared for every possibility and then still wasn't prepared. So we're not talking so much about that type of caregiving. What we're talking about is the care of relationship, caring about each other as friends, fellow congregants, fellow human beings. And sometimes that care is expressed in practical care, like the new program we're trying to start, or possibly the older program that we're trying to restart, of having congregants volunteer to provide rides to other congregants who aren't able to get here because they either can't drive at night anymore, can't drive in general anymore, or don't have a reliable form of transportation right now. That's one practical way that we can show care. We also can go with our fellow congregants to a doctor's appointment that seems kind of scary, where we want an extra set of ears listening to what the doctor says. Those are our ways that we can give practical care to each other. The one that is a little bit more intimidating to some of us is this thing we call pastoral care. What does pastoral care mean to you use? Some of us are pagan. Some of us are atheist. Some of us are humanist. Others agnostic. Some Christian. Others very long phrases that they might not even remember after they publish them. So how do we even have a shared theology? Theology is the study of God. Not all of us believe in God, and those who do believe in very different forms of God. So some UU ministers replace the word God with love. Love with a capital L. Others encourage their congregants to think about what gives their life meaning. I tend to alternate given the day, but usually I end up staying with meaning. What gives our lives meaning? What allows us to go through the difficult times? Because I have to say, I keep on looking for the person who hasn't had great loss in their life, and I haven't found them yet. So pastoral care is really companioning people, traveling with them during difficult times in their life, whether because of an event like a divorce or the loss of a job, or something that is more long-term, like a chronic illness. So we companion, and that really just means travel with, listen. We don't fix, we certainly don't save. We try like the Dickens not to advise. Sometimes we may refer. However, it's really allowing us to listen to someone else's heart and allowing ourselves to be changed from that. One of the best descriptions of pastoral care never uses those words. I want to share it with you today, as I shared it with the participants of our pastoral care workshop just recently. It is by Araya, who is also called Mountain Dreamer, and it is called The Invitation. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow. If you have been opened by life's betrayals or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic, to remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is even true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself, if you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul, if you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty, even when it is not pretty every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stay at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after a night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and still do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stay in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else fails away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. Seems pretty hard. I don't know if that would have been the invitation to seminary. I don't know if I would have said yes. Goodness gracious. That shouldn't be our new member service, should it? And yet, those are the times, the moments, the places where we do share our lives with each other. Instead of saying, yeah, I'm fine, or yeah, busy, oh, stressed, I'm always, oh, you know, I've got all the things that we say, we each have our own script. Instead, we pull somebody aside and say, I'm really worried about my son. Or my mom is sick, and I'm tired, and I don't know how to take good care of her. Or I just feel empty. I go to work every day, and I come home, and nothing seems to matter. If we can take those moments, those small invitations that we offer each other without even realizing, and we can share more deeply, we will transform ourselves, this congregation, each other. It's hard. And so, because we know it's hard, we're trying to provide training to leaders that will help us learn how to be with each other more, deeper, better. However, I don't want us to forget that we are the best givers of pastoral care. I was part of a young adult group in my home congregation, and I had a major surgery. And the pastoral team contacted me, but I didn't know any of them. The people in my young adult group contacted me once to make sure the surgery went okay, but I was on bed rest for 6 weeks. No one called or texted or asked to come over. And that felt yucky, because these were people that I thought I was close to. Now, in reality, I'm sure that they were super busy, because in my infinite wisdom, I decided to have surgery like 3 weeks before Christmas. However, we know that there are lots of reasons why people don't reach out. A lot of the time, it's they're afraid of making it worse. They're afraid of saying something, and I'm not even gonna say they, we're afraid. I still get nervous. My neighbor just passed away, and it was really hard to go over and see her husband, because I was nervous about making it worse or being annoying. And I'm trained to be annoying. So if I'm afraid of doing that, it's even harder when you don't have the training. So part of this commissioning service is a reminder that we all need each other, all of us. And it's also a reminder that asking for pastoral care is not a sign of weakness. We don't always have to be the experts, the fixers, the saviors. In fact, it would probably do us a lot of good if we weren't those things more often.